thank you so much that you are the eternal God, that you are the King of Kings, and that you are the Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you that there is nothing that you are surprised about. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And we thank you, Father, that we can look to you because you are eternal, that you are almighty and all-powerful. And Father, we never understand necessarily the ebb and flow of the events and crises that happen throughout time. But we thank you, Father, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And Father, at this time, we pray for our local church family. We pray for Jerry and Sharon. We ask, Father, that you would comfort them and minister to them and their family members. Father, we pray for salvation of their family members even through this time of grief and mourning. Father, we pray for Josh and Nicole on their travels home, and we pray that you would watch over them and the children and keep them safe. Provide them the proper accommodation, and also, Lord, look after their health as well as they travel along the way. Preserve them, Father, and keep them. Watch over Fenno and Diane as well, Father, in their travels back into Florida, I believe, at this time. And Father, we think of this current crisis. We think, Father, of how well we've been preserved so far on our little island here. We pray, Father, for our health director, Heather Morrison, that you would give her wisdom in the decisions that are being made. Our cabinet, our premier, leaders of the opposition, Father, that they would come together during this time, and that, Father, that they would even seek your face. Lord, that they would seek your wisdom. And Father, we pray that you would just keep us here, and that you would just watch over our businesses, watch over our families, watch over our elderly and our sick. Lord, you've been so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. We live in such an incredible part of the world. And Lord, you've been so good. We pray for our doctors at the hospital, the clinics. We pray, Father, for our nurses, for all the support staff. And we pray, Father, especially for believers, Father, in those industries right now. And we pray, Lord, that you would just give them boldness and strength and ability to witness, Father, to those around them, that they would have a peace that passes all understanding, Lord, and that you would just really minister to them at this time. We probably pray for even the grocery workers and the people that we will interact with. And Lord, we ask that you would just give us opportunity and courage, Father, to share. So help us, Lord, as we study your word together through this new medium. We just thank you, Father, for bringing each one on here this morning. May you encourage us and guide us and direct us, Father, in these days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. So since we don't have an overhead this morning, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll probably have three or four readings here this morning. But Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up at verses 14 through 17 and just focus on one verse here this morning in the midst of those four. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, reading from the King James this morning. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We want to focus this morning on verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The NIV says we're to be making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We are here in this format this morning on a beautiful March day where basically nothing is open because of the COVID-19 virus. Most normal day-to-day operations have been shut down in order to contain the spread of this unknown virus. Fear and panic is spreading around the world, as now over 10,000 people have passed into eternity. We have a choice to make as believers. We can bury our heads in the sand and we can say, oh, I just knew it was going to be this way. What's the use? Or we can redeem the time. The word to redeem means to buy up, to ransom. It's number 1805 in your Strong's Concordance. E-X-A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. Exagorazo. And interestingly enough, figuratively, it means, now get this, it means, the word redeem here, to rescue from loss. To rescue from loss. Now in Bible Hub, there's a really good spot there, BibleHub.com, where you can click on the help word studies. And it breaks this little word down for us. And this little word, exagorazo. So the first part in the Greek, ek, means completely out from. And agorazo means to buy up at the marketplace. So the reference here is to take full advantage of seizing a buying opportunity. I remember early on in our business when we didn't want to go into debt and tried to keep it as simple as possible, that I needed a lot of furniture. And I had a really good working relationship with Simmons mattress guy who was selling me a few mattresses, and he would sell directly to the hotels. And I remember one time he came to me and he said, Dwight, he said, you seem to be willing to take whatever I have. And I said, well, I've got a lot of units with a lot of old furniture. I said, I can pretty well put anything anywhere and it'll look better. And if it saves me some money and helps you out, I'm willing to do that. So anyway, one day he called me up and he said, Dwight, he said, I have this, a few things that I'd like to, we want to get rid of. And my boss, he thinks that you're the guy for it. And I said, okay. I said, well, what exactly is it? Well, he said, there's a warehouse here of about $15,000 worth of furniture, couches and chairs and dressers and headboards. And he said, just a whole mix of stuff. And he said, none of the hotels want it because everything has to match. And I'm like, wow. I said, well, what's the wholesale price on that for me? And he said, well, he said, it's worth about $15,000. He said, you make me an offer. He said, and I'll go back to my boss. Now, we had a very congenial relationship, and the Lord had allowed me to have a really great connection with this guy. And so I said, well, you give me a few hours. I'll look at what I can afford, and I'll call you back. He said, sure, that sounds great. He said, it's up to you. He said, it's. I said, can I have some of it? He said, no, it's all or nothing. He said, you need to take it all or just leave it as is. I said, okay, all right. So I came back to him a few hours later after I thought about it. And I said, look, I said, I can do $5,000. And he looked at me and he smiled. He said, oh, Dwight. Okay. He said, I will call. He said, I will see if they're interested. He said, I just don't know what they'll do. I said, that's okay. I said, it's totally fine. So anyway, 24 hours went by, 48 hours went by. And I thought, well, maybe I blew that one. Maybe that didn't turn out so well. But anyway, I said, it's okay. If the Lord wants me to have it, I'll have it. The phone rings. He's on the phone from Simmons. He said, Dwight, he said, you know that order, he said, that we were talking about. He said, I've been busy here dealing with some other issues. He said, it's all yours. He said, the whole thing. He said, we will send it out. He said, you can send us a check in a couple of months. And he said, you got yourself a load of furniture. So I bought up that opportunity. I seized the moment that was there. And funny enough, 2 weeks later, he called me again and he said, I have one other warehouse. And he said, it's got $15,000 worth of stuff in it. And he said, if you want to make me the same offer, he said, my boss says, let's get rid of it. So we need to be buying up the opportunity. It's interesting. President Obama, which is certainly not any example necessarily of a biblical mandate. I remember when there was a major crisis, the last one in 2008. And I remember reading an article and he told one of his chief of staff, he says, we must not miss a good crisis. Now, he was taking advantage of it in some ways in the wrong way. But as believers, we must be making the most of the present opportunity. One man says we need to be recognizing the future gain. So how can God redeem the losses of this crisis into gain? Well, we mourn the fact this morning that we're not gathered together in our beautiful church building that's sitting empty over on Lincolnwood Drive. And maybe you're in Summerside, Montague, Florida, Ontario. But let's redeem the time. Let's buy up the opportunity to use this medium of internet that we have to reach out to each other. I was just sitting here getting ready this morning, and I thought, there's no need for any more storm days at the Charlottetown Bible Chapel. There is no need for us not to be gathered together in the middle of a blizzard unless the power's out. You know, we now, through this medium, can minister to the elderly. John Phillips said to me a few months ago, I sure wish we had an online service. Well, Lord willing, out of this, I hope that we will have an ongoing online service. We turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 11, please. Acts chapter 11. We're going to read a few verses there. Now, here we're talking about the persecution of the church in Acts. And it says here in verse 19 of Acts chapter 11, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution. So stop right there. We read that so easily, don't we? We read that so quickly without feeling the emotion or the pain that's in that verse. There was persecution because the Christians were gathering to the name of Jesus Christ. There was persecution because of their testimony in an ungodly culture. And what happened was they were scattered. Well, what did that mean? They were driven from their homes. They were driven from their businesses. They lost. There's so much loss here in this first part of verse 19, isn't there? When we think of the implications of their scattering. They were driven away from loved ones who weren't saved. They were pushed away from family and friends that they grew up with and went to school with. And then we read on, we arose about Stephen, persecution that arose, this is after Stephen's martyrdom, about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Redeeming the time. Here, this loss, this persecution, this scattering of the believers, God turned it into gain. God used it to reach hundreds and thousands. And in the long haul, millions of people with the gospel, even down to this day, because they were scattered out from that home area that they had grown comfortable in. We get comfortable, don't we? That's our problem, isn't it, in our Christian walk, is we often just get so comfortable. And crises disrupts our comfort. What will we do about it? Colossians 4 and verse 5 in the New Living Translation, we don't need to turn there, says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. As four of us met this Thursday morning for prayer at the chapel, all properly 6 feet away from each other, Wayne Gindin shared the opportunities he had in the last few days because opportunities that he had to witness to people because of this virus. We need to share our faith in Christ. We have the answers. This week, as we listen to the news, the economic fallout, people getting sick, you get overwhelmed and you wonder, what can I do? It's like a cloud. You feel it. I feel it. I sit here and it just feels kind of stunning sometimes to think, like, when am I going to open my business? Do I go out and spend any money getting ready to get my business open. It's numbing at times. And then Heather shared with me John 16 and verse 33, where Jesus spoke to his disciples. And he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace." It's not in my business that I may have peace. It's not in my goods that I may have peace. It's not in my RRSP that I may have peace. It's not in the Canada pension plan that I may have peace. It's not in the Canadian government that I may have peace. These things Jesus said, I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Because he is the Prince of Peace, isn't he? In the world, Jesus goes on to say, you will have tribulation. And so many times we think tribulation is because we witness and we're persecuted, but there's so many other just tribulations. There's health issues. There's this virus issue. There's financial tribulations. There's many struggles. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. It's not easy to be of good cheer, folks. I'm not saying this is easy. Jesus didn't say it was easy, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. We're talking about gains and losses here, folks. And I don't know if we have anybody online this morning, but we may have children from families. We may have some friends. And here's the number one loss that can happen to a person, is that they will be separated from God for eternity. Mark 8 and verse 36 and 37. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world," Jesus said, "but lose your own soul?" And then Jesus said this incredible question, "Is anything worth more than your soul?" Is anything worth more than your soul? People have had a lot of excuses in the last generation to keep them busy. Sports, art, building businesses, lots of different things that keep us occupied. But all of a sudden, it's like, you remember those old cassette players? You have the cassette in it, and you just press the pause button, right? And it would just stop. Well, literally, that's almost what's happened to our world today. And there's no excuse right now not to think about whether you're right with God or not. The question this morning is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can know for sure this morning where you will spend eternity. It is guaranteed in God's word that is forever settled in heaven, that he has laid out a plan. It says that he spared not his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all. He gave his life so that you could have life. He went to that cross. Most people are quite familiar with the crucifixion, even if they don't go to church. And he died there. And in those three dark hours, he bore your sin and my sin on his body on the tree. Then he was buried. And then it says after 3 days, just like he said, he rose again from the dead because he was and is and will always be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He shed his life blood. He gave his life for you. And it says simply as this: repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much sin you have committed, and it doesn't matter how good you think you are. Sin will keep you. One sin will keep you from heaven. But Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave himself. So the invitation is there this morning. Now, back to the believer. What are some of these opportunities? that we have during a season like this. This is an opportunity to increase our faith, to really, you know, God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, He wants us to lean hard into Him and trust Him during this time. And maybe we haven't been praying as we ought. Maybe we haven't been reading God's word as we ought. This is the time, folks, to redeem. We need to be witnessing to others. We need to be sharing our faith, using this, talking to them about what it could look like. The rapture could come today. It might not come for another 5 years, but this is some of the stuff it's going to look like. Getting rid of cash, only using credit cards and debit cards are some of the small signs of the end days. We need to use this as a testimony to our families, to our wives, to our children, to live a simple life, to live financially wise. The other verses in Ephesians there were walk wisely, be circumspect. This is a time to be a testimony to our family. And here's the little challenge this morning. This is a great opportunity to strengthen our fellowship. This can lead to an opportunity where our fellowship would be weakened, but we need to strengthen our fellowship. See, life has got really simple. No sports, no shopping, except for essentials, no excuses. I'm going to read a verse here. We need to turn to this. This will be the last verse that, well, there'll be a couple of others, but Malachi 3 and verse, Malachi 3 and verse 16, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3. At least if you have to go check your food in the oven or anything, you can actually just walk away and I wouldn't know the difference this morning. So anyway, Malachi 3 and verse 16. Now they that feared the Lord, so this is the remnant of Israel, the believing part of Israel that believed in the living God, that just didn't go through the rituals, but had a living faith in Jehovah. Here's what they did. They spoke often one to another. We'll just keep reading. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves not. We need to speak often one to another. We need to get on our phones and we need to call. But call somebody you haven't talked to very much. It's easy to call all the people you talk to all the time. Call one of the elderly. Make a commitment that today you're going to call somebody that attends our meeting. You're going to talk with them and you're going to listen to them and you're going to pray with them. I know this week I've had some tremendous conversations with brothers and sisters in our meeting. And it's such an encouragement to listen to them as they talk about some of their trials and some of the struggles that they have endured and God has seen them through over the years. I had one brother call me the other day, and when we were done, he said, Dwight, he said, I've never done this on the phone with you before, but could I pray for you? And I said, certainly, you can pray for me on the phone. And he prayed for me. I have another brother in Florida that we got to know really well at the chapel there, and we stay in touch on the telephone, and we had a great conversation on Friday. And I said to him afterwards, I said, Kevin, can I pray with you? And we prayed, and we called out to God. So if I could leave you with this challenge this morning, is that we need to, as the world would say, seize the day, redeem the time. We need to speak often one another. Have you called anyone this week to check on them since this happened, to pray with them, to listen to them? This loss that we have experienced this week can be a great gain if we will but redeem it. Two more blocks of scripture before we wrap up things here this morning, folks. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. We have to just deal with this topic here, just ever so briefly, just in the reading of the scripture even, of fear. This is a time of fear. We feel anxiety. That's okay. We're human. God knows this. Joshua 1 and verse 1 through 9. And here we have the death of Moses that just occurred and the weight of leading these 2 million and more people into the promised land falls upon the shoulders of Joshua. And a lot of people probably said, oh, he was discipled by Moses. He's probably a pretty good guy, but he's not Moses. And it will never last. We're not going to make it. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, verse 1 and verse 1, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. I can't help but think of another verse that we're all familiar with. I'll just read it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have a great opportunity during this time to minister to one another, to spread the gospel, to grow in our faith, to cry out to God and say, Lord, I need more of you. I need to seek you more. I need you, Lord. I've been very comfortable, and this crisis has really disturbed my comfort. I thought again tonight that we may try to have a brief meeting as well. Noah and I will coordinate that and try to send out some information by 2 o'clock through Rachel on the chapel account. And other than that, we're going to close here in a word of prayer. How many did we have join this morning, Noah? 80. We had 80 join in, which is probably, pardon, honey? Yeah. So we had 80 join in this morning. So that's probably about 150 people. And that is really exciting. It has been absolutely just so grateful and thankful. I want to thank Noah for all the hard work he did here. We just started basically yesterday at around 1 o'clock, pulling this all together. And we're just so thankful to the Lord Jesus that we could do this. So we're going to stop. We're going to have close in a word of prayer. I'm just going to get Noah to unmute it. If a few people want to stay on and say anything, and if it gets mumbly jumbly and you can, that's fine. Just, we'll just kind of, if anybody would like to say anything, that's fine. We'll pretend we'll wave as a handshake, and let's just close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven, and it's because you are eternal. You are the one who is before time. You are the one who invented time, and you are the one who will keep us forever in heaven. We thank you for this incredible hope that we have. We thank you, Lord, that you have your people and that you look after your people. And so, Father, we thank you that we can look to you that in you today we can have peace. We pray for our elders, the trustees, all those in leadership at this time, Father, that you would give us wisdom and direction in the ministry that you would have us to have here in Charlottetown. And Lord, that you would just continue to minister as well. We think of our missionaries today, Lord, in various parts of the world. And Lord, we pray for them as they travel back, some of them, and some of them as they stay. We pray for Don Brooks today, Lord, again, that you would watch over him and his connecting flights, Lord willing, on March 25th. We pray that things would go smoothly and he would be able to get through the airports and back home to Prince Edward Island. But Lord, more importantly, that you would use him on the way to testify to the powerful, life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, Father, that through all of these circumstances and movement of Christians throughout the world, even today as we speak, that, Father, your word will go forth. People will be saved. New ministries will be started. Families will be brought back together. Father, there is going to be so many things happen during this time that will honor and glorify thee. So Father, we just close this meeting now. We pray that you just watch over anyone who is sick at this time, just normal sickness, colds and flus and just some of normal things, Lord, that you would just comfort them and give them peace and just keep them from this virus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.